Shalom, Mishpucha. Shalom, family. Mishpucha is a Hebrew word. It means family, and we're the Mishpucha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people, where the middle wall of separation between Jew and Gentile, it's finally come down to form one new man. Getting ready, Mishpucha, to blow the grandest shofar, or the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone everywhere to hear the good news. We want everyone everywhere to be red hot for the Messiah. Well, I'll tell you what, I don't understand people that aren't red hot for the Messiah. There is no other way. I have Pat Schatzlein on the telephone, and Pat, you told me last night you had a dream in which I was in it, and I'd like you to tell me exactly what God told you to deliver.
Last night, I fell asleep and was excited about our time together today, Sid. And somewhere between about 4 a.m. and 5 a.m., I had a dream this morning. And I'm sitting with you, and we were in the audience. I didn't even, you know what that was. We were sitting at a desk. And I turned to you, and the Lord said, "You tell him that I have not given him a spirit of fear, but I've given him authority, and I am opening doors on his behalf to not accept anything the enemy says." And then he said, "You tell the audience, those that are listening, if you're walking through fear, that God does not give us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and soundness of mind." But he told me to tell you, audience, that are listening right now, he said, "Tell them that I can break depression, fear, and discouragement right now where they're sitting, and my joy can overwhelm them." But Sid, it was so clear in this dream, and I don't have a great deal of dreams. I'm not an every night dreamer. But he said to me, and I wrestled with it. He said, "You tell Sid that fear has tried to overwhelm him for what I want him to do, to stop and let me do it."
Sounds good to me. One of the messages we're making available, it's a major message. People must hear this. The title is, "Why is God so mad at me?" Now, you have done a number of meetings with young people who are what are called cutters, where they cut themselves. And by the time they hear this message, not only do they get free from cutting, what happens to their scars?
You know, it started happening 4 years ago at a big festival in Monterey, California. My son came to me, and I just got done speaking. He said, "Dad, there's a bunch of students that want to meet with you." And I spoke to about 30,000. And I said, "Son, you know what? I'm tired. I flew all night to get here." He goes, "Dad, you got to do this." So I go outside, and youth pastors are holding their teenagers with their arms out. And I said, "Hey, what's happening?" And the youth pastors are weeping, going, "Their scars disappeared in the middle of your service. First time it happened. Blood is still in some of their arms where they had been cutting that morning in their tents at this big festival, but the scars were gone." Sid, then it began to happen all over the place.
Now, just out of curiosity, are you saying, proclaiming this is going to happen, or just because of the power and anointing, it just happens?
It just happens. And you know what? There are times where I'm in the middle of speaking and God will say, "Tell them right now." And I just did that in Indianapolis with about 7,000 teenagers. And I said, "God says, if you're a cutter, your scars will disappear." And I just go on preaching. And all of a sudden, a beautiful little girl comes running out in the foyer after the service. I'm out at the table and she's dancing. And I said, "Sweetheart, what's going on?" Because we have such a wounded generation. She said, "I was raped by my father, I was raped by my stepfather, and I was raped by my boyfriend." Beautiful 16-year-old girl. And she said, "And I'm a cutter. But when you said that, I looked down," and she peeled back her Band-Aids. She said, "Sir, all my cuts are gone." You know, Sid, I asked God. I said, "God, why do you do that?" A very strange manifestation. And he said, "Son, when the love of a father enters in, when I break that orphan spirit, I not only heal the inside, but I can transform the outside." And this happens all over the place when we go in. People that cut, which cutting is controlled pain. People cut themselves. I've got family members that are not kids that cut themselves. And they do it because it's the only pain they can control. And it becomes addictive. It's a high. It's almost like a drug. And so when God enters in and begins to heal them, the inside, he can manifest healing on the outside. And I have met over and over one young lady. I was speaking at an event she was watching on the internet. She had cut herself so much, even on her face, that I'm preaching the message that's in the book, Weeping Lions and Roaring Lambs. She's watching on the internet, goes to the bathroom in Detroit, Michigan, to wipe her face off because she'd been crying so much. And even the cuts on her face were gone. And she actually sent me a Facebook message this morning asking me to pray for her because she's telling her testimony at a suicide prevention center.
Well, one time you shared this message and you had a vision for a couple who had recently lost their son. He had died.
Right. That happened back in November of this last year. I'm in Virginia. A couple comes up to my table. The pastor's wife, I'm actually signing a book of all things for someone. The pastor's wife whispers to me, this couple really got touched by God tonight. And she said, I said, okay, and I'm still signing. And she said, their son was killed 2 months ago in a car accident. He was 19 years old in Myrtle Beach. I dropped the book because my ultimate fear would be to lose my 22-year-old son. I turn and grab the mother by the hands, and she's talking away. And instantly, when I took her hands, the Holy Spirit took me to heaven. And I saw this tall, lanky, yet redheaded young man worshiping before the throne of God. I immediately, and he had on a red flannel shirt, of all things. I immediately came back to the woman, and she's talking. I said, ma'am, I have to interrupt you. I need to ask you some things, and I've never done this before. I said, was your son tall? She said, oh, tall and lanky. I said, did he worship with his arms spread out before the Lord? She said, just like an eagle. I said, was he redheaded? She said, absolutely. I said, ma'am, I'm going to ask you something even crazier. Did your son have a red flannel shirt? Her teenage daughter, who was standing right there, and I write about this in the book, because her teenage daughter immediately begins to weep, and she says, I go in his room and smell it every day. It was his favorite shirt. And I said, ma'am, you've been worried that your son did not make it to heaven. God told me to tell you, he made it, and I saw him worshiping. She fell out in the spirit. What that means is she just kind of fell out on the floor, began to cry out to God. Her husband, they're all my age, probably in their 40s, weeping uncontrollably, had been taken from a life of drug addictions and all kinds of things, and I put them in the book. In fact, the book was at press, and I called my publisher and said, hold on, I've got to add this story, because God let me see heaven for this woman.
Just out of curiosity, besides seeing her son, did you see anything else in heaven?
All I saw was the glory of the Lord, and I could see the knees and the feet of God on the throne.
Now, when you say you saw the glory of the Lord, tell me what you saw.
Whenever you see the thick, billowing smoke, white smoke, in the clouds when you fly, that's what I saw all around me, except it was moving and dancing. And the very lights of heaven were bouncing off of it. And, you know, Sid, I asked the Lord, I pray every night, God, I want to see heaven. And I said, Lord, you let me see heaven. Why? And he said, son, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. You had no motives when you took her by the hand except compassion. And compassion is the armor that God gives you to bring forth truth, but compassion is also the doorway to transform lives.
I've noticed when I read in the Gospels about miracles and Jesus, often that word compassion is in there. Have you seen, I think it's wonderful the scars are disappearing from the cutters, but have you seen other types of miracles happen when you speak?
Absolutely. We had a young lady that came in a wheelchair, completely crippled last year, had rolled in, and by the end of the service, when I said stand up to get the altar call, without thinking, she had been hurt in an accident, was completely handicapped, paralyzed. She stood up. She suddenly realized she was standing. Next thing I know, she's standing in her wheelchair. Her mom is on the other end of the cell phone. It's a big youth conference. She's screaming, Mama, I'm healed. I'm healed. And we have seen the compassion. But even another greater miracle was a 70-year-old gentleman that came to me and said, Pat, he had cried all the way through the service. And I said, sir, are you okay? 78 years old. I was in Canada. He said, you don't understand. When you begin to preach tonight, God took me back to when I was 14. He said, I've never been to church before till tonight, 78 years old. When I walked my father to the train station, he was getting on a train to go into battle, to leave. He promised me he would come back, but he never came back. And as I walked through the snow, God gave me a vision. A 78-year-old unsaved man said, God gave me a vision as I was walking back through the snow in the woods to go home after watching my father wave goodbye. I saw Jesus come out of the woods and put his arms around me. The greatest compassion miracles, and he's just weeping, radically got saved. The greatest compassion miracles are not just physical. It's when God takes that wounded, weary, exhausted, scarred person. I always say this, scars on earth are testimonies in heaven. If you've not been through some things, you're probably not a good soldier. But God, I've learned this, that it's impossible to have compassion without first having pain. So if you're listening right now and you've been through a lot of stuff, you know what? What you've been through is a great indication of who you're called to. It's how you defeat the enemy. I have compassion for someone that loses a sibling because I lost my sister to a drug overdose. I have compassion for those that have mental illness in their family. Why? Because God takes what we've been through and uses it for his glory. It now becomes, instead of a crutch, it becomes a wing.
You know, I'm hearing some words of knowledge, so I've got to state them right now. People with arthritis in their hands and in their fingers, if you'll move your fingers, if you'll move your wrist, the joints, actually any joint, you're being healed in Jesus' name right now. Have you seen people healed of cancer in your meetings, Pat?
Yes, sir. Absolutely. In fact, we had one little boy, 14 years old, had been sent home to die. They brought him to a service. And I walked over to him, and I must interrupt this for just a second with a word of knowledge. I see someone with a knot on their brain stem in the back of their head, and it is, I don't know if it's benign, I don't know if it's cancerous, but it's back there, and you know it's there, and it's forcing you to have debilitating headaches and migraines, and God is dissolving it right now as you're listening to this. I don't know who you are, but it's at the back of your head, it's your cranium level. It's back there by about the C4, C5 area of your neck.
All right, finish the story of the person with cancer. That person is healed in Jesus' name. Go ahead.
It was actually a 12-year-old young man in Oklahoma City. His mother brought him to the service. He had been sent home to die. He looked like walking dead. I came off the platform, went to lay hands on him, and just said, Jesus says you're healed right now. The little boy says, I believe it. We prayed for him. He goes home. 2 days later, I get a Facebook message from the mama. I took my son back to the hospital today. The doctors say all the cancer is gone. I saw that young man about it.
Well, we're out of time. I want you to get the Remnant package. The book, I Am Remnant, the three powerful messages. People get healed when they hear these messages, and the special poster called Manifesto of the Remnant, available for a gift of $40. To place a credit card order for today's offer, call anytime at 1-800-447-2697. That's 1-800-447-2697. Or log on to our website at www.sidroth.org to hear this week's interview or watch archives of our television show, It's Supernatural. Visit our website at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org. Call 1-800-447-2697. Or log on to our website to receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter or materials catalog. I really want to mentor you monthly to walk in the supernatural of God. Log into our website and get information on how you can join our mentoring clubs by becoming Mishpocha or Chalitzim. You can write me at Sid Roth, Post Office Box 39222, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28278. That's Sid Roth, Post Office Box 39222, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28278.